This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. It is Monday night right after the show. We are doing our weekly recap. I'm your host, Blake Horstman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And tonight we have our good friend, friend of the podcast, actually been on before. You guys might know him from my season of Bachelorette. He is the bigger person in the power couple. You are the bigger personality in the power couple. That is Caitlin and Jason. Thanks for coming on, Jason.
Glad you think so. Thank you guys for having me. It's good to got Blake back in the house. Eric, I feel like we're hanging out again. This is freaking awesome.
It's been a minute, so I'm glad you could come on because we have a I'm pumped to see. I'll probably see you this weekend. I'm gonna see you this weekend down in Tampa, so I'm pumped for that, man, because it's been a minute.
Yeah, so is this just an impromptu decision that you're coming?
Yeah, man, I mean, basically I had flights booked for like 6 weeks, but I wasn't sure if I was going to go or not. And then I was like, you know what? F it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. So yeah, I'm excited, dude.
I'm the ignorant Bills fan that bought a ticket before the Bills actually clinched the Super Bowl. So I am pot committed to going.
Dude, are you going to the actual game?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to the,
Yeah.
Oh,
man. You need to flip those tickets.
I know. I'm thinking either flip them or just like put a massive bet on line and just, you know, call it a
game. Have fun at the game. Dude, I bet you could pull some. I mean, I bet those tickets will go pretty well.
We got a good deal on the tickets, so there is a chance we'll likely flip them, honestly.
Pay for the whole weekend.
There you go.
Sure. And some.
No,
they're going. Cool. I mean, you see them on StubHub now. They're going like 20K.
Well, it's because there's only 16,000 seats in the stadium. Yeah, so
man, I think it's gonna be most expensive.
It's a big shortage.
Super Bowls. Yeah.
Right. And they're doing, aren't they doing 7,500 vaccinated first line workers as well? Mm-hmm. So I think they're putting it up to 22,005. I could be wrong there, but I know they're doing the, I didn't know if they put it up to 22,000 or not, but
yeah, something like that.
Crazy times.
It'd be cool to catch up, man.
Likewise, dude. Sure, man. It's been way too freaking long since Blake's.
Oh, I know. How'd the hockey game? You had a hockey game tonight. How'd that go?
It went. Yeah. Working on my squat. I noticed it today. I was dangling out there in a couple snipes. It was beautiful. I was like, Kate, you should have been there tonight. You would have been like,
big hockey guy. Jason,
how do you do?
Awesome, man. Well, let's get into it tonight. Quite the episode. I think we got a lot to go into. I'm excited to talk. I mean, so far, Jason, what do you think about Matt as a bachelor? Because tonight I think we got to see him a little more comfortable, a little more in like the power role, if you will, with these girls.
Yeah, I think he's almost too good. You know, like he's super articulate, he carries himself well, poised, composed, everything that comes out of his mouth is the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like too good that it's not good TV, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, right. I mean, he's a stand up guy. I find that before this episode, I would say I was getting a little bored, but this time it was like nice to see like actually like mature connections. I was so sick and tired of the whole OG newbie thing. And I'm just like, this isn't even good banter. Like I would say when Demi was on, I'm like, this girl can chirp. Like this is entertaining. Like give me more. Even like the whole, remember like Hannah B and Kaylin, like that was a good like battle. Like I remember watching those seasons and I was like stuck. I don't know what it was, but this episode definitely for me was like a turning episode where I'm like starting to get into it now.
Yeah, I agree. Cause I think the only thing you could possibly say about Matt at this point is that it might be a little boring. Like that's the only thing I've seen bad about him so far. Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. It's the only thing. And then you're right. I think the reason is cause he's like a nice guy, like stand up guy, and he articulates himself well. He's not, you know, so he doesn't make any mistakes.
And now we're starting to see now that he got rid of the problems in the house, you're going to start seeing that more mature and relationships building and like the love stories.
I hope so.
Coming to fruition now.
I think
it's gonna be interesting though that preview. There was some drama still, so we'll see. I hope you're right there, Eric. But we'll see.
You got to give him credit too for stepping up to the plate. Like I thought the way he handled that Anna situation was picture perfect. Like,
hey, yeah, let's actually talk about that. Yeah, dude, because I agree 100%.
I mean,
it's pretty much where the night starts off.
Yeah, it's where we start off basically is the cocktail hour. Yeah, Brittany basically runs to Matt, and you can tell she is like shook, man. She's like really
Matt
upset.
Her.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Right off the bat, grabbed right off the bat. And she is upset. Like she's physically shook, you know, like visually shook. You can tell, like, I mean, she said, you know, like stuff like this can ruin my life. You know, like my mom watches national television and I felt for her in that moment and stuff. And so again, then Matt goes and basically takes Anna. And you're right. I think he did a great job with that. I think not only did he comfort Brittany in that moment, but then he turned around and was like, to Anna, was very articulate with Anna, you know, and was like, what's going on? And that's when she kind of spilled what she did and everything. So
back up a minute though, with the whole like Anna thing, was that true? Like, was she just pulling bullshit out of the air, or do you think she heard?
Well, she,
like, what do you think the deal is?
She had said that she had heard through her DMs and people messaging her before the show about Brittany.
I don't know if we'll ever know the full truth. I mean, not that that's the point though. That's what scares me is like, I wish the show just wouldn't have put it in there because like something like that, man, without like zero proof or anything, you can't say
you
that.
Can't say
you can't
that
put, like the but show should never probably put it on there. You know,
I just think about how much like you must have, I would think you have some pretty damn good evidence to be making
right
like that. Like that is some bold shit. Like you said,
that's heavy accusations.
Yeah. And that's a stigma. That sticks.
That's a good word for stigma.
Yeah. Her way out of that, because that is serious bullshit, and I think Matt handled that fantastic.
And I see a lot of, what's cool is I see a lot of fans kind of rallying around Brittany a little bit too, like how it was messed up that not only that Anna said that, but that, you know, like it was shown and everything. So it's cool to see like fans and like people in Bachelor Nation even rally around Brittany. But Anna was like, you could tell she was up, like she knows she fucked up. Like she knows, you know, you could tell she was like, I do genuinely think she was sorry that she said that and she knew she shouldn't have said it. But Matt sending her home was a power move, man. That sent a message to the other girls in the house, in my opinion.
That was a bolt. Like we talked a little bit about Matt being almost too safe. That was not a safe move. Like he made that right at the get go, called it out. I actually loved how he articulated it. Like, listen, we all make mistakes. Yep. I've made mistakes. Mistakes don't define you, but this mistake is going to define us and it's going to define what I want here. You got to go. It was great.
It was.
I mean, this is kind of even taking a step further though. There is this like, so obviously Brittany was bullied to an extent that she should have never been bullied, but it's just funny how it's interesting. The dichotomy of us, of course, backing Brittany up as we should, but then on go air though, the whole Twitter just beats the hell out of Anna. And so now the bullying is like, I was saying to Caitlin today when we watched, I was like, I feel a little like what she did was terrible. What she did was terrible. You don't do that. But the way people are like making fun of like her whole mouth thing and like the way, man, she talked, I'm just like, this poor girl is getting just shredded. And the one thing I want to say is, like you said, when you did here today, there's no excuse. You don't do that. It's fucked up. But she was remorseful. You could tell like she knew she fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you're exactly right, man. I've seen it with like Victoria too, man. Like, you know, people are like, oh, Victoria's such a bully. But then you know, they turn around and say, oh, look at her eyes. She's got baggy, you know, she's like dressed like, you know, she dresses terrible. I'm like, you're doing exactly what she's doing. You know, it's like, just be a bigger person in a lot of sense. Yeah. 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 Exactly.
And I'm not backing Victoria.
Right.
Or Anna and saying that, but it's just funny when you sit back like from a high level and look at it, you just, the double standard is crystal clear.
Exactly. It can be frustrating at times, but and props to Matt too, because Anna was literally like crying in front of him and he still like stuck to his guns, you know, like the way she apologized and then the way she started crying, I almost was like, oh my, Matt might change his mind, but he stuck to his guns. He sent her home. And I thought that was, I think it was a good move on his part. And then basically Victoria starts freaking out a little bit. Victoria starts freaking out and she actually goes and grabs Matt. And I don't even know. It was a weird conversation because basically he was like, you know, I've heard certain things and I heard that you called. Oh no. What's her name? What was her name? Just who did he call her? Or she call a hoe?
Oh, Ryan.
Oh yeah. Ryan. The dancer. Right.
That's what it was. Sorry. So Ryan actually sat down with Matt.
Yeah.
Ryan was like, hey, I just want you to know like Victoria. Blah. So then, Matt went and got Victoria. I can't remember, but basically Victoria was like, I loved Matt's line here too. This was another moment where I was like, fuck yeah. Like mic drop. Matt was like, you know, she was like, that was completely out of context. Me calling her home. He's like, in what context is it okay to call someone home? I was like, yes, like what a fucking line, man.
Today was his night. Today was his night. That was a pop. And again, of course, okay, where does my brain go? There's no way Victoria's leaving. Producers need her there. She's entertainment, like great. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I'm sure there were some conversations behind the scenes, like, keep her. And he's like, we're not keeping her. She's got to go. Yeah. Or, I mean, if I'm taking a step further, the production was like, well, she's been a good villain for 4 weeks. We have another villain teed up. So
that's true. That's a good point.
But anyway, I want to give credit to Matt because that was a power move.
It was.
And also another, and also before that, when he was, after he had talked with Anna, he once again said, he said this in a couple episodes ago, that he has a responsibility to create a safe place for these women. Mm-hmm. And he's totally doing that.
Yeah, tonight was a big time, big move on his part to be like, and then let's get to the point where then all of a sudden the girls were like, I'm sorry, I apologize. Like, if I was mean to you guys, I apologize. Like, all these girls just started backpedaling.
The whole house just flipped. Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Now they're all Victoria, BFFs. Yeah, exactly.
Like kissing.
Victoria's like, I didn't mean it in like a mean way, you know? Like, I was just being silly. Like, geez, you know, it's one of those
so
moments.
Sorry I took your crown.
Yeah, I was just like, so it's, but I think that was a good thing I meant. Like, I think he instilled in the house that it needs to be a safe environment, not toxic and all that. So I did a good job, but then let's get to that. I agree with you, Jason. I thought Victoria was going to stay, man. I thought she was going to get a rose tonight, man. I thought she was going to stay another week, maybe do a 2-on-1 or something. But he ends up sending her home at the rose ceremony.
After seeing him send Anna home right away, I was really surprised that they kept Victoria around till the rose ceremony.
Oh, you thought he'd get her before?
I thought he would do the same thing as like how he handled the Anna situation.
Eric, I felt the exact same way. I'm like, they're sitting down on the couch. He's going to end it right here in the same way he did with Anna. When they walked away, I said to myself, producer, like, of course she's got to stay. Like, she's good entertainment. She's chirping. Mm-hmm. She's throwing things around. I feel like I thought she was going to stay for sure. So if I'm a betting man at that rose ceremony, I would have put bucks on her to stay.
I agree. I was actually kind of shocked when he didn't call her name. And
how about her exit?
How about
her exit?
Or how about her outside with the producers 10 feet away from the
Other that's girls? Right. Like, she was like talking mad shit and the girls are sitting there like listening to her.
This girl hurts, man.
Not much self-awareness. I will say that. I think hopefully that's something she'll learn now, you know, as she watches it, she gets a little bit more self-aware. We'll see. So I do want to talk about too. So like we talked about, the love stories are starting to come through, and I want to talk about Rachel getting the next 1-on-1 right after this. All right, so let's get in this. Rachel, I've been wanting Rachel to get a 1-on-1 for weeks, man, because I think they got a great connection. I've been excited to see Rachel because she's gotten some screen time, but she's stayed out of a lot of the drama. She's been pretty quiet and reserved. So I was excited for this date. And I always say they call this the pretty woman date, right? Where the girl gets all the clothes.
Yeah.
I thought their connection is just great, man. And that date was pretty fun. They looked like they were really comfortable with each other.
Yeah, she seemed awesome. I mean, so they looked like naturally comfortable. I think you could like see in Matt's eyes, it seemed like one of the first times, like genuine, he was locked into her. The one thing I noticed, I'm trying to read body language, is every time she came out, she was like kind of like hesitant what to do. He was putting his hands out and he's like, come here. And he would like do the twirl and you could tell like he was into it. So he was really into that. And like for me, that seemed like the first like, okay, I forgot about that. Like, more of this OG newbie shit. Like, this is good stuff right here.
I agree. That's why I watch this show, man, is because like the drama, whatever, like I understand some of it's got to be there and stuff, but I watch it for the moments like this where it's cool to see somebody fall for each other, you know, see a couple fall for each other. And I think we kind of saw that tonight. And she got a bunch of like amazing clothes and gifts. And I think I remember doing this in our season too, man, like watching how like other people react to her. So when she came back into the house, even they were like, damn, she looks happy. Like, damn, they must have had a good time, you know? And that's huge, I think, because they could tell.
And someone even said the comment, like, she's in love.
Yeah,
one of the girls said that, made that comment.
I mean, I loved how I watch it with an analytical eye now, right? And when she comes in and she's got like 15 bags, like, of course they're setting it up so that she's creating envy in the room and they're starting to chirp and chirp. But I thought like the date was just crazy. It was beautiful. The one thing I heard something, I guess there's some rumblings going on about some backstories with Rachel.
Yeah, I've heard rumblings of that too. I don't know what's all, I mean, I'm sure it'll be addressed at some point. I don't know what it all is.
Yeah.
It's hard, right? Because like what we see on screen, she seems great, but I don't, you know, apparently there's some stuff behind the scenes and I don't know the details of that really.
Right.
So I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Cause right now I think she's a front runner for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that, like that night portion of the date, he, you know, she gets that blue dress. They go to the night portion of the date, and she says she's falling in love with him. And Matt says it too. Matt's like, I feel the same.
I know.
Way.
Yep. Were you surprised when she said that?
I was shocked that she said it, and then really shocked when he said it back.
I was like, "What did we miss? Did we
reciprocated it right away?"
Yeah,
crazy. It was beautiful to see it, though. I thought it was like when I was watching it, I got some goosebumps, and I just felt as though it was real, it was authentic, and I think there could be something there. Rachel could go deep. Very.
I agree.
Deep.
Yeah. I think Rachel's going to go.
What week is this? This is week four.
Five.
Okay. So week five.
I'm not going to lie. I think I said it to Beck in week five.
Okay. I was trying
when
to
we were in Vegas.
She still didn't remember my name. So I'm like, how do you call it up by week five? Okay. So I get it. All right.
But I will say that it was Rachel's first one-on-one. You know, I had that first one-on-one in our season. So we had a lot of time together, but that was her first one and she said it. So, but I genuinely think she feels it. And I think he's pretty crazy about her too. I think they've had conversations that we haven't seen, I think too, you know, because a lot of this has been drama. Yeah. So I'm like, there must be something else there, you know, because she's pretty happy. So
especially because the natural chemistry, from the get-go, from like the minute that for that date, you knew there was, I felt like it was deeper than at least.
What do you remember? Like, I think it was the first episode or maybe the second when he came and did the original toast to the ladies. And he mentioned like he prayed over the group. Yeah. And she started crying after that. Like that was her. She was so connected with him that night.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that too. That's a detailed observation.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I know, right?
Eric takes game notes during episodes.
That's like X's and O's stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? And the one thing too, if we do a little X and O, I know it was a serious thing about how like the first impression rose was always like the front runner. And so I think they've obviously things have changed a little bit. Although Abigail got the first impression rose right, and she's obviously
she came back tonight out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, yeah, because she hadn't gone there.
I almost feel like Matt really does pay attention to the girls that aren't like want to be in the forefront of the group and like grabbing his attention. And he said that tonight because like Rachel and Abigail, they just sit back and let him come
even Kit,
to them.
Kind of, yeah. I feel like Kit kind of does too. You know, we'll get into it's it. Like, she gets the second.
They're just super confident.
Yeah, he likes. And the people that he instantly, you know, wasn't attracted to, like, or wasn't, obviously there was nothing there, was Victoria and Anna. And, I think they're obviously more vocal and actually, like, extroverted and taking over the room. And so, yeah, I think you're starting to see a type from him.
He likes a little quiet confidence.
Yeah.
Because it's quiet confidence.
He's drawn to, like, Piper. He's drawn to, like, Piper, Bree, Michelle.
Yeah.
Like, and all of those are, like, real chill women.
Yeah, you could tell they have like such independent strength, but you're right, like more reserves, kind of like sitting back and watching it all.
Yep.
I have a question about, we talked about Victoria and she's gone, but I want to just ask this real quick. I've been thinking a lot about this. Obviously, she's got a lot of one-liners, right? She's got like a lot of stuff that she's like putting out there, and you know, an act, a show,
she
whatever.
She tries.
Do you think in her mind when she's like doing all this stuff and like acting the way she's acting, that she has seen some other people do it really effectively and become out super popular. For example, like Demi, like, you know, Demi wasn't her by any means, but Demi kind of had that, like, I'm going to take over and do some chirping and have some fun. Do you think in her brain, she thinks like I'm crushing it as she's doing this stuff?
Dude, that's a great question because I agree. And I actually heard rumblings before the season started that there was a girl who was trying to be Demi, but did a horror. Like Demi can be charming. Like she can be mean, but weirdly
sweet.
Charming.
Yeah,
exactly.
Spicy,
like she can.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think with her, it's a little bit more like she can chirp. She, you know, she would chirp and she'd do all that, but it's also almost like, like sweet. And like, I don't know why, but for some reason she's able to do that. And I think maybe you're right. Victoria watched that. Victoria has seen some villains who got a lot of screen time. Even Corinne. I feel like Corinne back in the day, she was a villain, but still like people kind of liked her. Yeah.
Jordan Kimball.
Jordan Kimball's
a villain, but
one.
Everyone loved him.
So I just think she went over the top, maybe. I don't know. This season
it wasn't like in a degrading fashion though, like calling them whores, bitches, losers.
It just brought and I know we're talking about Rachel, but when you said it resonated with me. I wonder what she's think watching it back, if she has regrets, and I'm wondering if she's watching it back like, shit, I thought I was crushing it. So it'll
maybe
you're gonna have to get her on here and get like a deep dive into like the
Yeah. Cause maybe, yeah, in the moment you're right. She probably thought she was doing, I mean, she clearly, I feel like she clearly thinks that she's the best girl there, you know, for him even and stuff, you know, like clearly. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's being, I'd love to know what she's thinking right now as she watches this.
I wonder if she still thinks Matt's a jester. Is that what she called him? A jester?
A jester. Yeah.
Jester.
Yeah. A jester.
Sorry.
Yeah, man. I haven't seen her post anything tonight. So I don't know if she posted something tonight. Yeah. So let's get in that group date because a lot did happen on that group date. Group date itself was fun. They went on like a farm. I didn't really know that about Matt either, that he's kind of like a, you know, country boy, you know, like a farm.
I was thinking city real estate guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It was cool to see that side of him.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. And the women seemed to have fun, you know, throughout the date and everything, but there was that moment too. So it was very MJ focused. This date was very MJ focused. She got a lot of screen time. The girls are kind of, I don't know, kind of like salty that she was getting a lot of time with Matt and everything. And they don't seem to like her very much, but there was that moment. I want to talk about this with you, Jace, because I remember there's a funny moment on our season that happened. I mean, I think you'll remember it, but, MJ chased Matt and Matt ran through the bridge or whatever. And then
the stable
ended up whose interview did he interrupt?
Piper.
He started kissing Piper, mm-hmm. and MJ saw it. And that was like, they never show. I know what you're thinking, Jace, because I remember, do you remember in Virginia? We should talk about it.
I'll talk about it.
Yeah, it was a fun moment. But they don't usually show those moments. They don't usually show, because leads do interrupt interviews and stuff sometimes, mm-hmm. When they're given a chance, and they don't usually show that. And what a proof of that is, Jason one time kind of caught me one time.
I'm too observant. You want me to tell the story?
Yeah, tell the story. It's a
fun. All right. So that was like kind of my whole thing. I'm like, I'm going to just step back and observe because
it took you 2 seconds to notice it.
I'm like, these guys are all like faster, taller, stronger. So I got to like outthink them or something. But I would just notice that like there was definitely preferential treatment to some of the cast members. And it was preferential treatment. And like they wanted to make sure that the lead had some extra side time with, mm-hmm. with the people. Blake was for sure one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like certain stuff. I don't know if you talked about like week two when you got the knock knock when we were all sleeping to go out. So
yeah. I've talked about that on here.
Okay. Before. So you got the knock knock to go out, you know, mental note. And then what happened was I actually knew that Colton had told me that he had been doing a little weaseling and saw in the screens, like, because you know there's obviously production rooms on this set, that Blake and Becca were making out during his interview. And I was like, wait, so you could see that she interrupted the interview and they're making out? It's like, yeah. I'm like, that shit has never happened to me. So I like them. Like, how can I get this out of Blake? So we're walking out. We both got our roses. We're like hugging each other. Hey, we made it. And I looked at him. And I was like, and I don't even know if there really was that.
I don't know if there was
either. I don't even know if there was. I was like, dude, you got makeup on your, like, how'd you get makeup all over your coat? Like, I saw you 10 minutes ago. You didn't have makeup on your coat. And like, I've never seen Blake freeze.
I panicked, like, bro. I was like, oh, it's Shabby. I hugged Shabby. I hugged the producer. Yeah.
And then the producer was like, you guys had this thing. I'm like, ah,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. 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 It was just so like moments like that are really funny because they're, if the lead is kind of into you and everything, or like they know, you know, like the producer or the producers, like you said, kind of want to give extra time, they'll make sure you get it. But it was just funny because normally that doesn't make the show, but it made the show tonight. Especially because I think MJ saw it and that bugged MJ a lot. And so I think they had to keep it in there. But those moments are pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. That is, oh my.
And then that bus ride is still one of the famous, my favorite moments of our whole season.
That bus ride. Nuts. We went crazy.
Crazy, man.
We went absolutely crazy. Yeah. Absolutely nuts. Okay. I don't want to make this about us, but I do have one question because I do have an opinion on this. When you, like, true, like, you really, when you went to propose to Becca, there wasn't any doubt in your mind
that I wanted to, or that she'd say yes?
No, that you weren't the person.
No, that week I had a ton of worries because, I mean, there was a moment in Maldives where like she normally would jump in my arms and kiss me and say hi, or, you know, and there was one time we turned corners and she just walked away. And then I was like, well, fuck, it was one of those. But our last date went so well that I was very confident going into proposal.
See, the reason I bring it up is it alludes to kind of like me being observant, seeing some of the stuff you guys, like at the end, I felt like I didn't want to believe it, but I did believe, like, I was like, I think that's why, like, you don't, sometimes you might not see people like break down or whatever. Cause mm-hmm. I think they're like,
I kind of saw, you see a lot of things happen behind the scenes. Like, I kind of saw it coming. And I think what happens for almost for everybody is once you get out of the car and you're back in your room, you just, the whole emotional ride, you're just a straight puddle, you know?
Yeah. 100%, so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was pretty confident, which is why I broke down in that towel. So, yeah,
you didn't get the district, do it in the room where no one.
Yeah, exactly. I just did it right there on the fucking
whole
beach.
Puddle national stage. Yeah. Letting it all.
A lot of fun. Right.
I digress.
We digress. Yeah. So we're going into, so the day-date went well. MJ was getting a lot of like attention. You could tell there was something going on there. And we go into the night portion of the date. And that's when, I want to say her name right, Jasenia? Is that how you say it?
Jasenia.
She kind of mentions at that point to Matt that MJ started the whole, I guess, drama. You know, I guess you could say that. Like, started the whole drama, started all the
varsity versus JV.
Yeah, the varsity versus, you know, junior JV or whatever. And Matt's pretty shook at that point. And he's doing a good job. He takes MJ aside, wants to talk to her. And basically, MJ just denies it all, right? I mean, that's basically what she did. She said mm-hmm. that it didn't happen, basically, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see how that ends, because it kind of ends like that. But we'll see how that goes, because, I mean, I think MJ should have just kind of owned up to everything, you know? She just kind of like denied it all.
Yeah, I think that's going to come back to bite her for sure. What I do like, though, is how that's the part of Matt I didn't think we got to see before. I mean, the guy is just a stand-up guy, but we haven't seen him get to like dig in the weeds like this. And like the way that he drills down to out what's going on and then just squishes it, it's better than, I don't know, I think we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is going to come full circle 100%. But it also seems, does it seem a little petty,
like the
whole argument here? Does it seem a little like this probably wouldn't make or break a relationship for me, I should just figure it out type thing?
I agree. I don't think it's not nearly as bad as like Victoria or
Anna.
Yeah, agreed. Because I mean, I think one of the biggest things was like, I think Jasenia said that like there was a toast and MJ said something to the effect of like, here's to varsity squad or something. And I guess that's what pissed off Jasenia or whatever to go to Matt. So I don't know. I agree. This is a little bit more petty.
What's the implication there?
Just the new girls verse though.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I didn't think she was like stack ranking, like on looks.
Right.
That's what I thought. It was just the new girl, old girl thing, which is just,
it's petty. Like you said, petty. It's just like petty. Yeah. Petty shit. And you know, MJ's getting it pretty hard right now. I saw, you know, throughout Twitter and everything. Yeah. She's getting it pretty good. Yeah. So, which I mean, some of it is. Yeah, for basically denying it seems like, and being like, I haven't done anything wrong, when she kind of was she was for sure an instigator in the drama. I don't know if she started it, but she would just stir the pot a little bit with everything. So we'll see how it pans out, because before we get into the kit one-on-one, that's basically how it ends, because I like the fact that Matt was like, before come to the cocktail hour, I want to talk to you two, and it's basically a two-on-one at the end there.
But also before we leave the cocktail hour, because there was one very special moment during the cocktail hour, and that was Abigail and Matt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That whole conversation.
Yeah, because Abigail's disappeared a little bit in the last 3 weeks. You know, she started strong. She got the first special rose. We hadn't seen her for a while. And then tonight, they had a great conversation tonight.
She brings up that she feels defeated and disappointing, and that she's disappointing him.
Yeah. And he basically was like, no, like you're not, you know, and like he was able to, I don't know, like, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know what the word, like,
and it was even a powerful topic, because she brought it up. She's like, she felt like she was disappointing him because the possibility of her having deaf kids.
Oh yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
I love her vulnerability and like ability to open up on this stage is like so inspiring. Mm-hmm. I think she is just in, you could just tell she is amazing, and to see her come, like, I want more of Abigail.
Same.
In this, I want to hear more about her story. I think every time she talks, I'm engaged and glued to the TV.
She's going to use this platform for tremendous things after this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think Matt like really is into her. I think Matt is so just like impressed and intrigued with her. And so, yeah, the more I think we can see from her, the better. I would love to see her go to hometowns.
I would too. She's so sweet. She seems like she's so innocent and sweet and just like genuine.
Pure, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, more Abigail, please.
And even Matt responding to her tonight, he was like, I'm encouraged by Abigail.
Yeah. And he gave her the rose, gave her the group date rose, which is, I mean, that's huge, you know? He just made her feel again, like,
how does group date rose work? Like,
does that work?
But she at the end of the no, she, I got a couple of those.
You really were about to explain that
for first time.
I was like, listen, after another rotate,
first week you get one, then second week, then the second week.
Oh, who's really gonna break it down?
Those group dates are roses are great too, because you're just going to the fucking rose ceremony. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm just gonna drink tonight, gentlemen. Like, you guys have your fun. Like,
this is the best part. Is I actually watch in this whole conversation a lot of like your opinions, like you said, are dictated based on how Twitter is going and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I watched the episode before it started, and then I put one tweet out there, and I got distracted with side stuff. So I haven't seen it all since I put my first tweet out there. Kind of what the natural response is. So it's interesting to see how people like
react
to that, and how people are trending and stuff.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I sometimes
liked and stuff.
Yeah, because you start Central Time, Mountain Time, so I start an hour early. So sometimes I check Twitter of like how the people are reacting to the show and everything. Yeah. We get really analytical.
The best is like every guy or girl in the Bash franchise, especially those with podcasts. Sorry for blowing you up here. Everyone sees the episode before out there. So what kills me, I love like when I see people that like aren't that funny come up with the funniest tweets ever. I'm like, they've literally been just sitting at home with a pen and paper, watching this and waiting for that perfect time, and then they hammer
just
out.
Threw me under the bus, man. You're just like, no,
I'm not pointing at you.
No, I know. I'm just like, but I honestly, Brett Vergara on Twitter killed it tonight. Brett's funny, dude. He killed it.
I'm not talking about Brett either. Brett's always like witty, quick, funny. Like,
super witty and quick. Yeah. But it's funny. You're exactly right, though.
There are those people you know that aren't that like, and then like, they come up, and you're like, okay, I see. I know what
yeah. And it's like just worded a little differently than like other tweets and shit. Yeah. Oh man. So let's get into the Kate 101. Get into the Kate 101 because she surprised me a lot. We're gonna do that right after this. All right. So Kit, guys, my first initial when I saw Kit, 21 years old. She comes from, let's just say, like, you know, a wealthy family and all that. I thought she was gonna be trouble, man. I thought she's gonna be trouble this season. I thought she might be in some drama. But for the most part, she's had some moments, but for the most part, she's stayed pretty much. I mean, she seems very mature. She stayed kind of under the radar. She's made some mistakes here and there, you know, with some bullying. But for the most part, she seems mature for 21. And so I was excited she got this one-on-one for sure. And it was a cute one-on-one. They like cooked together and stuff. You know, it was like a cool one. I like that one.
Yeah, that was a great. I think it was a great showing for Kit. I think in general, I mean, again, just my opinion. I think the natural perception of Kit did a 180 for maybe most people, at least myself. Like my natural perception, she came off, like you said, like kind of maybe a little arrogant or off-putting, had a little couple comments. So it didn't, your natural perception of her wasn't like, this person's awesome. Mm-hmm. But then this date, I think she was off. She was great. I think it was a great date for both of them. They're cute. I think she could go really far too. I think she opened up, which is nice. I mean, I don't know. My perception and completely changed of Kit tonight.
Yeah. And I was surprised by their connection, man. I didn't know Matt was this into her because like, I don't think we've really even seen many conversations between them. With Rachel, I saw the chemistry going into the date, but with Kit, I didn't really see the chemistry as much. So like, I remember there was a moment when they were getting ready to cook. He kind of like went behind her and like stood behind her and like, you know, put his arms around her. I was like, he's into her. Like he's into her. So I was surprised by that. And I think, like I said, I think it's a good showing by Kit tonight because they got a good connection. So.
I couldn't have been more wrong. All my predictions, all my calls today were way off. Kit and Matt went on the date, and in my head, I go, she's going home. Like, because I was thinking Rachel was so good. Like, they crushed it. Like, you know, haven't seen much of Kit. Like, no way. And then they have this, like, killer connection. She could go all the way. She could be asleep.
Dude, that's a good point. Now that I think about it, I don't think he sent anybody home on a date yet, has he?
That's why I thought she was going to go home.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's usually one or two that get sent home on the one-on-one, and she hasn't. It's got to be coming up.
Have you enjoyed watching this season so far?
I have actually. I have. I think I see, I probably watch it kind of like you do, like X's and O's, like a little more analytical since we've been on it and everything, you know? So I've enjoyed it in that sense because I was super interested in Matt being the Bachelor, not having TV before.
I loved
that he was like, just like sink or swim, you know? It was like he wasn't really jaded. He wasn't any of that. Like, you know, you get it on maybe if you're on the Bachelorette season or something, or even Paradise or whatever. So I was interested to see how he would handle it, and he's handled it really well. So I watched it more from a different lens maybe this season, but I really enjoy it. I really like this season so far.
I love the idea of having a Bachelorette that hasn't been on the show before. I think that's so cool. I love it.
I was worried for Matt though. I was like, damn, he's going to get eaten alive, but he's done a really
good job. He's killing it.
I was really scared for him, but he's done a good job. And I think there are every season starts, you know, drama. You got the villain. It is very cyclical. Yeah, it's very like every season.
And there's going to be five weeks from now, we're going to be like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Yeah, exactly. I'm crying on my couch.
Gets us every season. But I think there are some solid girls, and we're going to get to know some of these girls now because like some of the villains are gone.
Do you think there's some solid girls there?
I think there's a few solid girls.
Which ones do you think?
I'm not going to say.
Which ones would
this
you
This is my podcast,
wanna...
Jason.
Oh, shit, sorry.
It's okay. Take it over, Jason.
I'm just doing the Blake Jason banter.
No,
I mean, you happened to see who our guest was last week, right?
I did. How did that go?
Any thoughts on that, Jay?
Oh, yeah, actually, can I?
I know you talked about it on Ashley, I, and Ben.
Yes, can we? Yeah, you started it all, Jason. This is all your fucking
fault. You did
fault.
Start it all.
What did I say? I would like to call that I started this trend, and I fully support it because I saw it from week one. I saw it from week one in 2018, and here we are. I'm all team.
You were a day oneer, 100 on that one.
I saw that shit.
Moving on.
Say Blake and aside from that, I don't want to put any pressure on that, even though I already did. Blake and Becca are both independently amazing people, and they both deserve the happiness. And I genuinely mean that with every fucking bone in my body. You guys are awesome people. And whatever, you know, I'm just kidding around. But
yeah, I know.
Either way, I fully support both of you guys finding it.
Appreciate that, dude. Appreciate that, man. And
you too, Eric.
Oh, thank you. I love you too, man. That's why I got this Buffalo jersey on just for you.
Kit gets a rose on the 101. They have great connection. Excited to see what happens. And like I said, basically the show ends with a 2-on-1 with Jacina and MJ, and them just like going at each other, man. They were just sitting there arguing at each other, yelling at each other almost. And there was a line that I really liked from Jacina. She was like, she said something, MJ's like, he's going to find out the truth. He'll find out the truth. And she was like, he will find out the truth when he watches this back. And I was like, ooh, because she nailed it, man.
That was the one line that stuck out with me too. And I think she said, I could be wrong here. I thought she said when you watch it back. I was like, that is so forward thinking that you're like, you're calling her out 4 months before, like literally you are on air. Like you don't think about when you're in the show, that stuff you don't think about, right? Mm-hmm. You don't think like watching it back. And she literally just put her point blank. And the best part was when she did that, I was like, that's the knockout punch because she didn't, did you notice how that she, when she froze up, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not even going to, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was a complete knockout punch.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's funny because like this is the first episode I've ever been in the middle of the episode. And I think it was with Anna. I was like, I can't imagine because I had to do it for Paradise kind of like when I got home from filming and then I waited till it aired. And it was like that was almost just as bad as when it was airing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I can't imagine Anna knowing she said those things, knowing what was going to happen, you know. And I don't think Victoria necessarily, because I think she thought maybe, like you said, she crushed it. But I think Anna and MJ probably were like just dreading this season because they know, you know what I mean. And that's almost worse than watching it, you know. Like sometimes it's better just get it over with. Like she's like, I'm an overthinker, and I was just like after Paradise, I was like, the worst is going to happen. Like I just think of the worst, and it was. But like I just felt for them. I was like, man, I bet they'd last. 2 months of their life has been fucking hell, man.
Oh, I feel for them. I mean, Victoria, like it wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 100, 300, 800. It was like 1,000 chirps, like nonstop. The one thing I think about for Anna, I hate to like, I'm sitting here totally having her back. I don't support at all what she said or creating any rumor like that, but it was one serious screw up and I did see remorse. And I feel like it's probably been a miserable more than anybody here listening would know few months for so hopefully lesson learned
and you're right. But you know, even on the other side too, it's probably been miserable for Brittany. I bet Brittany was freaking out. You know, I bet Brittany's been freaking out because she's not sure how this show is going to handle it. She's not sure how like it's just the situation, man.
It's
just
such a good point.
Yeah,
because you think I'm thinking you think momentum, like, oh, people are like supporting Brittany, so then you think Anna, but you're 100% right. Like imagine you have to be walked around and that's the label on national television. It's fucking terrible. And you know what, honestly, I wish that wasn't aired.
Man, I agree. I just think the whole situation just shouldn't have been aired, man, for both everybody involved.
Honestly, that's like deeper than like a little entertainment. That's like shit.
It's an actual real, like you said, stigma. That stigma can stick with you. Yeah. I just wish show wouldn't have done it. I saw somebody in my DMs being like, but if they wouldn't have showed it, like how would they have explained Anna going home? I was like, well, good point. You know, I'm like, I don't know. Like they could have found some other way to get Anna home. I don't know. But yeah, so that's kind of how it ends. Basically it ends with, you know, a video of the rose on the table. And we'll see who goes home on that. And they show the next week. Let's talk about next week preview, because it, like you said, Eric, like the villains went home, you'd think the drama would stop, but it seems like there was like legit, like who walked in yelling? Was it just Cena? They walked in yelling at one point in the interview.
I think it was, I think it was Piper.
Maybe it was Piper. Yeah. Like,
and it looks like they start going in on Katie next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Katie wasn't in this episode a lot, but my point is, it looks like the drama mm-hmm. is going to continue. And Tyler comes in, looks like there's gonna be a little bro chat. Tyler and Matt are gonna have a little bro chat, so it'll be interesting. They want to get Heather, Tyler on TV for sure. Oh, yeah,
Heather pulls up to the gate.
That. Heather pulls, Heather. I love how they did that. Heather rolls
I'm here
up,
for like, Chris Harrison, please.
Like nobody knew. Oh, who are you? Like,
yeah. Poor Heather.
I know, man. I'm a little worried for Heather, man. I hope people aren't too cruel. Worried.
I think, oh.
I've met her before. She's a sweet girl too, man. I feel bad if she gets,
I have a bad feeling, and I don't think it seems like it might not be deserved, but I think, oh man, that's because especially you had the OGs, now you have the newbies, then Heather comes through, and it's like, oh shit,
you're going.
But wouldn't Heather would be the OG of the OGs though, right? At this point,
well, I guess. I mean, technically on paper, but not in the house. I don't know many. I probably bet not many of them know that. You know, she didn't have a huge role in Colton season, so.
Well, she in Paradise?
No, she did not go to Paradise.
She didn't go to Paradise.
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. But her and Hannah are really tight, right?
Very tight. And I think that had something to do with it, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel I just
because hope. Well, because yeah, think about it. Hannah and Matt are tight. So
we'll see, man. Yeah.
That's I like how I do watch. To your point, Eric. I love the white van. Like she just flew in and drove herself. Yeah.
Just picked
she
up
like
a
drove
rental.
Herself to the
She's went to Hertz.
Got the AAA discount. Yeah.
I'm in that fast break line.
So we'll see. We'll see how that's handled, man. We'll see how Matt handles that. Cause I hope you're right. I hope it's not a lot of unwarranted hate for Heather, but I'm scared it is.
I just don't have a feeling that that's going to turn out well, just given what the house is at now. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see her just, I mean, I hope they show it the right way, but like the justification, right? Like where did this come from? Cause we haven't seen anything other than Heather and Matt. So it'll be interesting to see like where it all, like how that came to fruition.
Yeah. Agreed. You know? Yeah. Next episode's going to be interesting. But we do have some questions for you, Jay. We got some fan questions for you, man.
Let's do
so
it.
Eric, you want to start first?
This is kind of a two-parter. Any more dogs in the future or just kids?
No, I want no more dogs. We have two amazing dogs. I don't know if you saw this thing on Caitlin's Instagram. It was, there's a stray cat and she named this cat Stracy. And then she built this, like she literally built a home for the cat. And like there's dog food and all this stuff. The dogs, I opened the door today to like get out of it. It was yesterday to get home. And the dogs ran out and started eating the like cat food she put out there for Stracy. So Stracy's not in the picture. I'm sure she found her home and she's happy.
Yeah.
And no dogs, just kids.
Just kids, no more dogs. Just kids. That's what you say until a stray dog walks up on that porch and Caitlin
and you know what? Here's my answer to that. I will rescue dogs every way, every which way, but we will take care of them. We'll foster them. We'll bring them to school. We'll find them a home. We can't do anymore. I can't. I don't even have like a place to sleep in the bed. I'm literally like this.
I know, especially your dogs are the most cuddly dogs alive.
They're like the most most cuddly boys in the world.
Really are.
They are some
they're the best
boys.
Though. I love those. So going on that, this is 90% of my questions, dude, will go along with the kids here. Like, is there an engagement date set, bro? Like everybody, I know that's probably, you get asked that all the time, man. All the time.
Is there an engagement date set? So there's some jambalaya going. There's some juice going here. We're going to see her parents at the end of February. So that'll be nice. We're going to see her mom, who she hasn't seen in over a year. So that'll be nice.
It's been that long.
And then you know, I've like thought about this in depth. Like, obviously we, right. Let's just be honest. We have a plan. Like, I have a plan.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do. How much I share is probably limited,
but I hold on, Jason, you're calculated. You have a plan.
You have a plan.
No
that
way.
Man is, you are the most organized plan guy. <I know. laughs>
So that's that. But the one thing I think that's like really important is that they're in a, and I mean this with every inch that I have, is I genuinely cannot imagine like living another day without Caitlin in it, right? She means the world to me. I love this girl more than anything, like everything, like every relationship. We have ups, we have downs, we have good days, bad days, sad days, happy days. That's relationship. But, you know, she is my best friend. I just couldn't imagine not, you know, having her in my life. And she really means the world. But yeah, like every relationship, we go through it and everyone does. And, but she's just so special to me. And the future looks bright.
Absolutely not. You guys are fucking perfect. I love you guys. So yeah, big KB and Jason fan over here. I was the one, I always say I'm the one who videoed all of your guys' first moments together. Like when you guys were out here in Denver.
Yeah, Hell at the Moon.
Hell of the Moon and all that. Dairy Block.
I was like, we were taking those Jello
the
shots.
The Jello shots, yeah, the syringes. Yeah.
Eric, you were just pumping those down.
That was a
we all
weekend.
Were.
That was such a fun weekend, man. No, but I'm excited for the future for you too, obviously.
It's actually really funny.
I'm invited to the wedding. That's all I care about.
I'm going to invite...
You're getting no invite. We just got to get we just got to get things taken care of first.
Mm-hmm. It's really cute. It's like you found your main piece and now Blake's your side piece.
I got fucking replaced real fast. But that's okay. Blake, I'll take a back seat. I'll take a back seat to KB.
Blake's my side piece. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
That's pretty good.
From this point on, call him Blake my side piece. No, but it's that's awesome. And it's crazy how you do have thoughts or plans, and obviously this throws a huge wrench in everything. You kind of like imagine what it would be and who would be there, and you know, for us, family and friends are the most important, and just so constricted. But you also get to a point like, holy shit, it's been a year. Like, we've been living through this pandemic for a year, and time continues to tick, and you got to take control of your life and not let time and uncontrollable things take care of you. So
No, absolutely. Yeah. Agree. Yeah. Got another one for him, Eric?
Yeah. This is actually kind of a fun one. What do you love the most about Blake, and what can you not stand?
Ooh, I am interested in
this. Add that this is so easy for me. I didn't even have to think about it.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Man. I'm gonna start with the bread before the meat.
Okay.
What I love about Blake, let me stroke him a little bit here.
Hey there, I need this.
What I like about Blake is he's so easygoing, down to earth. And the one thing is, and Eric, you could attest to this, his energy is like wildly contagious. Like, Blake is, you know, the paradise thing didn't go great, whatever. But like, at the core of it, Blake has always been such a good guy, good friend, loyal person. And anyone that gets to meet Blake will always speak highly of him. And if they don't, they probably have some serious issues, because he is such a good guy at the core. A great heart. Good heart. Man.
Appreciate
that. That's the pumping tires.
Thank you. I needed my tires pumped there a little bit. I appreciate that. You are the best hype, fucking best hype, man.
Now, the thing I can't
stand. Blake's in for life, baby.
Blake's in for life, baby. The thing I can't stand about Blake is for so long, Blake's my guy. I'm looking out for Blake. I'd be like, Blake, we'd have like coaching sessions. Like, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Think about this. When you go here, think about this. Every bit of advice I would give Blake along the years, he'd do the fucking polar opposite. I mean, I would give him 180. He would do zero. I would give him 360. He'd do 180. I mean, we had coaching sessions days before Paradise. Yeah. And like, why is he still fucking there?
I remember the Tayshia and Hannah thing. I remember thinking, like, afterwards, I was like, oh, Jason's gonna kill me when I think Tayshia on that date.
What are you doing?
I think the biggest thing is one of my biggest weaknesses is I'm very impulsive, man. I'm very impulsive. Yeah. And obviously I can be fucking manipulated, at least in that environment. And yeah, that's probably my biggest thing. Jason told me one thing, but then in the moment, and I'm impulsive, and I'll fuck out.
You go down there for one person, if it doesn't work out, you get the fuck out of there.
Oh, man.
That's life, right? You gotta live the way you live. And the best part is especially you and all of us, you learn from it. You fall on your face, you get back up and move forward, and not let history repeat itself.
Yeah. Amen, man. Amen. Hopefully 2021 is a good year for all of us.
Yeah,
speaking of, and I think you've answered this, but I can't remember. Are you and KB going to stay in Nashville? Like, I know you guys, because like, you guys were just in LA for a while. Did you enjoy that? Is Nashville still your home?
Yeah, I think that. I think we didn't really realize Nashville was our home, honestly, until we went to LA and we realized how far out of touch LA is from our home. And I think we've created like a really, really good friend circle here that like have become so close. And it's just, it's a great place to live. So we're actually in the process of looking at homes now. Last week we did like 6-7 hours of looking.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, we're looking at homes and those homes are in Nashville. So I think the future for sure.
Yeah. Is in this area. Yeah. Good. Awesome. Yeah. That's what I like to, I mean, not good. Cause I love visiting Nashville. Man, so visiting.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Once that country scene comes back, I mean,
yeah, we'll be down there
all the time.
Yes. We'd love to see.
And speaking of your time in LA, we see that soft flex sitting there behind you.
Oh, yeah, that's not my, I'm in her office. See, my office is above our bedroom and she's sleeping right now. So I'm all the way down. And I think this is Off the Vine headquarters.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, turn on that Off the Vine. There we go. There
it is. Showed you this yet or not? Have you seen this?
I mean, yeah. I've seen it on like in videos.
So like when Sharna won, I carried hers around Dominican Republican Airport and that was the heaviest trophy ever.
Is it that heavy?
Hers was. I don't know what that one. That's a little different.
You know me. I'm a numbers guy. My understanding is that this trophy cost $10,000.
Whoa.
To make. Yeah. I mean,
interesting.
Look at that.
Like, I didn't know that. Oh, that is dope. Look at the top. Holy cow.
Crazy.
That whoa, ball? That is mirror crazy. Ball. That's nuts. So cool, though. That is so cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Sometimes I mean, we'll just be here and we'll be like, was that a dream? Or like,
did that happen?
The mirror ball, like, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had a big part of that, man. You were watching your videos every week were incredible. Your support,
it was so fun,
her.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah.
That was
when she won, man. That raw emotion. Oh my god,
ultimate hype, man.
That so was great. That was the truest. Like my energy and stuff with that was so just pent up because that experience sucked. It was brutal.
You're stressful
three and
everything.
A half months.
Yeah.
Every day you're tested. So if you know, we had a situation where she tested positive. Mm-hmm. So we were stuck in the place for 3 days thinking it's over. She overcame that. Every day she's dancing for 6 hours. Her and Artem had ups and downs and left and right. Oftentimes she's coming back in tears. Her feet literally like.
She had an ankle injury.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She had rib injuries. She had a PT guy there every day. She was sleeping. Like it was that the ending. Was a miraculous moment we'll never forget. But that show, from my standpoint, was fucking So when I would finally see all that pay off on Monday, it was like the most gratifying thing. Because like you just see hell for 7 days.
Yeah.
And see none of that shine through. It was honestly, it was something I've never seen. It's wildly inspirational. When you
I mean, even for me watching and us watching, not knowing what you're knowing and seeing you seeing the behind the scenes, almost like the pain she's in, the work she's put in, even for us, like it was incredible to watch. I can't imagine what it was like for you.
Yeah, it was special. Yeah. We just had we did a podcast with Anne Heche and she is, I wish we got to see more of her on Dancing with the Stars because she might be the funniest human I've ever met in my life.
Really?
That cast was wild. Like that, we did like one little thing after a smaller group outside and it was like these people are awesome. There was great. I wish that's one thing I wish we could have got to go and
yeah
get to
man better, I know it was I feel cool. For
because you've been to Dancing with the Stars, right?
I've been to Dancing with the Stars. I've hung out with them afterwards at their little like what I can't think where they go drink something, Drinkology or something, Mixology or something. They go to like a place after every night and I've been there in part and like hung out with them and had drinks. So I felt for you guys because I was like, man, it's still so cool. She won, she was yelling it and everything, so none of that, but like it would have been really cool. I'd have been a crowd, she could have enjoyed, you know, more of the friendships made and everything. So all in all, obviously an awesome experience for her. So.
Oh, it's amazing. It was cool to be part of it.
Yeah. You got one more, Eric? Mm-mm. No, I do. Let's touch on it a little bit. Eric kind of mentioned it earlier and I do want to talk a little bit. Did you see Dylan's tweets over the week and stuff?
Yes.
His like explosion. Yeah. What are your thoughts on like that? I mean, I know you don't want to get into it too much, but like, I guess as far as like he talked a lot about like how contestants are, I guess, like kind of like dealt with or handled after the show and everything. And I mean, you have a great relationship and everything with the show and, you know, for the most part, like all of us do. Mm-hmm. But like, how do you think, like, what are your thoughts on all that and all that?
Yeah, like how contestants are treated and whatnot.
Yeah, sure. So so I didn't see, I saw the one tweet he had about like the production thing. Mm-hmm. And then he said he was gonna like answer a bunch of questions, right? Like he's like, shoot me with something. I didn't look at the tweet and like read down. Right. I saw on like one of those like Bachelor things, the picture that I was like tagged in or something. So I didn't get to see like him getting in the weeds. Here's what I'll say on it. The show absolutely needs to do a better job of preparing people after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. I think from a mental aspect, that's a big part of it. I think there should be support there from a therapy perspective. And really, most importantly, dealing with the monetary, the business, and also the mental anguish of the whole social media presence. People come off that show, just like all of us, clueless of what to expect, and you're really swimming on your own. And the fact that they have to implement something that when you finish the show, there's social media training, there's therapy, there's just understanding like how this works, because there are multiple instances, multiple of clearly mental anguish and anxiety and almost like post-traumatic from the show. Absolutely. And I think there needs to be something in place. And there's also got to be ownership, you know, from contestants to kind of try and be proactive about that. So I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I'll then end that rant with, this isn't new. Yeah. This isn't a new claim. This isn't something we haven't seen before. It's happened almost every single season, probably since the first season. People go on the show. There's the high of the show. There's the low of the out. And then there's envy because you are frustration and envy because you see what's happening and you're starting to put the pieces together and things start clicking a little bit, like usually like a year later. And this is not something new, right? We see this year in and year out. And I find it to be almost like repetitive, it's very cyclical, nothing no one knows, right? Mm-hmm. Like this isn't like Wall Street Bets, right? Where you got 3 million people that are like, we're going to take down the hedge funds and we're going to do it. Yeah. This is shit everyone know. Like Unreal. When did that show come out? Unreal. Mm-hmm.
Years ago.
I mean, that's like the most depiction of like in the worst way, worse than it actually is.
Yeah.
And the show still go like, still go, so.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. Like, from day one, this has happened. I think the only thing, and you touched on it, the only thing that's different is social media. And I think the show needs to then adapt. It needs to adapt with social media. They need, because like you're right, not only therapy and the mental anguish of it all, but also like you just said, monetary wise, and I'm not saying, oh, like make them a ton of money. I'm saying there are people out there that take advantage of a lot of people that come off the show because we have no idea what we're doing. So people will take advantage of us, people will use us, and people will fuck us over. So that's another thing.
Blue in the face. I could talk about that. I guess we could do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I think also just the impact. You don't realize like
your platform,
you know, you get off the show, whatever, and you like say you're on the thing. The impact of what you're saying is severe. And there has to be coaching around this stuff.
Yeah.
After the show. There's gotta be, and it's not an expense thing. That wouldn't cost much. Hire a consultant, come in, sit down, explain.
It's a drop in the bucket for them. You know,
a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the NFL does that every year when they bring in new rookies.
They have their symposium.
How hard is it? Yeah. Just bring someone in, have a day of training on every aspect that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you take so much away from that.
Yeah. And I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to make excuses for people, right? Because there's right and wrong. And you got to know the difference and you got to handle yourself appropriately. We're all adults. We do know what we're signing up for. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things that we really, you just can't expect some of this unexpected, and there should be something in place that helps you prepare for that. Why that's not there is kind of beyond me, because it's also a liability protection for the have things like this. Like, hey, we spent the time, we did coach, the people do understand the ramifications. Like we're doing something. Mm-hmm. And I see both sides of it. You know,
I think they're taking steps in the right direction. I think they still have a lot to go, but I do think they're taking steps in the right direction, thankfully. And they're doing, when it comes to mental health and all that, and they're taking steps. So hopefully it gets better.
And also, you know, we will say this, like we met with a therapist before the show, right? When I left, like the therapist met twice with me. Mm-hmm. So like they for sure, you know, want to make this a forefront, but also like, we all know what we're doing. Like I'm going to take the opposite side. We know what we're doing. We're going on this show. We've heard all this stuff. We know it's produced. We know there are producers. It's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I go back and forth.
I know. It's when there's no perfect answer, to be completely honest. There's no perfect answer. If there was, maybe the show would be doing it. Yeah. It was just not a right answer, really.
Was there a deeper question? Do you know, was there something that really sparked Dylan's comment?
Dude, great question.
Like, where did
well, if you remember, his first one was about Heather coming on the show. Like maybe what he dropped that mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago.
And that's why I'm a little worried for Heather, because I think it could be pretty bad from what he's heard. And I think that's what sparked it maybe. But again, I agree. Dylan's had a great experience. Found love of his life.
That's what fucking, I was surprised
like,
from.
He had a great edit on the Paradise. He's still got a good relationship with the show. So I don't know where that came from. I don't know.
Why I'm usually like, why? You say protective. First of all, I have a good relationship with a lot of some of the producers and Chris and everyone. And I feel as though that show had changed my life in a lot of ways. And I'm very thankful for it. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, that is not the case for almost, majority of the people. So man, it's a tough predicament. I mean, I'm not sure what the exact solution is.
Yeah. And if you do, let them know, you know what I mean? Cause I don't think they know, I think it's one of those. So yeah, no, I knew that'd be an okay. That would, as you were talking, I forgot how fucking eloquent and good at speaking you are and intelligent. Yeah. So I was like, we can't ask this question. Cause at first I was like, maybe we shouldn't ask it. No, it was good. It was good.
I've always like, none of that was prepared.
You're one of the few people that I think I could ask that on the podcast and not get sued. Cause I think you could handle that question, So, yeah. So
I'm sure dude, this is great, man. Someone's going to yell at me.
It was good. No, that was all really good, dude. It was good to see you. I appreciate you coming on, man.
And before we let you go, man, fill us in and tell us how Restart is doing.
Yeah, man.
Because I love watching that.
Dude, I eat it up.
I appreciate it.
I got to tell you real quick, dude. So this girl DM'd me today and she said that because I posted about you. And this girl said, I just did one of your two hour like finance tool workshops you do with people.
Okay.
Is that
okay.
right? Yeah. She was like, I learned more in 2 hours from Jason Tardik than I did 4 years in high school and through college. She said, I was like, yes, that does not. I literally DM'd her back. I was like, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. We'll you're killing it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
How is it all going?
I appreciate it, guys. It's been great. We're doing so Monday to Friday, we have a daily roundup on the stories, just breaking down all the things you got to know. We have a newsletter that goes out weekly. It's every Monday morning. And we talk about everything happening in the markets and earnings. But it's very 101, right? And so that's been good. We've been growing a community. We have a membership now, a networking membership. We have about 500 members. We have one event every week. It's all educational, informational for career navigation and financial, personal financial management. So that's been good. And then I told you guys last time, but I got the book deal with HarperCollins. So I'm writing the first book. I'm on like chapter 4, manuscripts due in April. And the first one's all about restarting your career from hiring, firing, negotiating, finding the path that you're meant to be on, as opposed to the one that you were led on since day one, because we live in a world where a blueprint does exist, right? There are social pressures that lead us to where we are. And if you do find and study those people have really achieved great things, you find they've taken a different route. So that book, I'm working on, and then actually have a podcast coming out too. So the podcast is going to be I haven't dropped the name yet, but it's going to be very
that's exciting.
It's going to be like taboo subjects in the ins and outs and secrets of money and consumer protection, the things that some of the well-oiled machines of corporate America and the businesses, may not want us to know. So the hacks that we don't know that way, we got to know. So I'm working on that. So I have some cool things going in the Restart world. So it's been good. It's been really good.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's fun to watch, man. I eat that shit up. And I think a lot of us do, man. I was retweeted it the other day. I was like, there's like, especially with all the shit going down the stock market right now, man. So keep it up.
I loved your rant the other day.
Oh, I was
you
pissed.
Nailed it, dude. I was pissed. Like, and I don't even know the stock market very well. And I was pissed.
You and Portnoy need to get together and just destroy these guys.
Erica and I got a good relationship. I got to go with Portnoy. Yeah. I'm just driven by protection of the average consumer, right? And it's not there, and it fucking frustrates me. They finally do everything they should do the right way, and it's strategically and well thought out. And for that stuff to happen, just drives me
like
nuts.
They just like stop the market. They just fucking just were like, nope. Like, yeah, they just
and then they come up with a bunch of nonsense to PR geniuses. They spend millions of dollars on how to weasel their way out. But we'll see what happens.
Well, I'll keep getting updates from Restart for sure, man. So,
tune in, baby. Tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to, follow Jason. You just Jason _ Tardik, right?
Yep. Jason_ Tardik, Restart_Reset. And it's been a fun ride. I appreciate you guys having me and congrats on all your success. And
appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah. I'll see you in Tampa Bay.
I'll see you in a few days, man. It's going to be a fun weekend.
It will be. I look forward to it.
Sorry. All right, dude. I'll see you soon.
All right, guys. All
right. See you, dude.
Bye. See ya.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all five of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.